Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
To HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Mike Morenci, who'll be telling us a little bit about the upcoming Global Leadership Summit. So tell me a little bit about how the material at the GLS is accessible to somebody with ADHD.
They do a tremendous job in preparing the materials for the attendees. Everybody, in addition to having the speakers either live or on the screen, has a booklet prepared with content to follow along with questions and illustrations to help keep you focused and engaged in the content.
So, can you tell me a little bit about some of the accessible features of the GLS itself?
Well, all of the sites have to be wheelchair accessible provide space for people to get away to have some quiet time. In Windsor, we have a couple of rooms that are set aside. We also have some nice quiet areas outside of our building with some benches for people to get away for some quiet space. There also is, for those who, may have some level of visual impairment or, like myself, tend to be distractible, the GLS is put on three very large screens to help keep people's attention that way.
So, for a person with a disability attending the event itself, do you think the material would actually help with inspiring them to become leaders, to take greater steps in their own development?
I think it certainly depends on the disability that the person has. But generally, I believe, yes, they've done a tremendous job. The materials in the booklet allow you to follow along with the speakers to take your own points from their talk that will help an individual with a disability like ADHD remain focused and gain greater insights that are very actionable, bite-sized pieces that you can take action on right from that point forward.
So, are there any challenges in setting up the material in this way?
Well, the material is set up by the Willow Creek Association, and we receive it already in booklet form. For them, I'm sure they have to get material from a wide array of very busy world-class speakers, and that would be difficult. And then laying it out in such a manner that it is valuable to multiple different learners, learning types, as well as those with different types of disabilities, would be a challenge. At each local site in Windsor, the greatest difficulty is just making sure everybody has their booklet and is able to follow along with the speakers.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time attending these events, have you noticed any success moment that relates to someone with a condition like ADHD actually getting something out of it?
Well, for myself, I certainly have. This will be my fourth year attending the Global Leadership Summit, and there have been several moments for me where I engaged with content from a speaker that carried forward into my life and career, allowed me to really change some of my own leadership style and have greater impact in the workplace. In particular, I would say Joseph Grenny, Crucial Conversations. Been able to use that a lot in conversations with both my supervisors and my staff to engage around problems or issues in the workplace to come to a really, truly positive and beneficial result. The other would be Influencer. There's another book, I forget the author, but really talks about a different type of leadership style where you're not trying to motivate, you're not trying to coerce, but you're really developing deep relationships with people and therefore being able to influence the end results in your workplace. And that is difficult for people with ADHD because our mind is sometimes moving at a million miles an hour, and it requires slowing down to develop that level of influence.
So it basically teaches one that they should find common ground, look at different perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah, but also looking at their motivating factors, right? So what's motivating the individual? What's an influencing factor for that individual? Because not everybody is influenced by the same things. And when we get busy, we tend to go to our defaults. And, you know, for me, my default is impact, positive impact for other people. But others, it may be money, it may be time off, it may be, you know, job security, maybe a whole bunch of different things. But you got to be able to identify what is the motivating or influence factor for those other individuals.
So if you could send any one message about the importance of this event as it relates to leadership, regardless of the ability level of the person coming in, what would you say?
I say that everybody has influence, whether you are in a leadership role at the moment or not. If you want to expand that influence, if you want to have greater influence on the people around you, increase your leadership skills, kick it up a notch, go to the next level, then you need to get to the GLS in Windsor on October 20th and 21st. Well, there's one more thing I'd add, Cam, and either you can add it or include it in your interview. We do have a student scholarship rate. There are 25 spots available at just $39.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you could stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. For more information, please visit online growingleadership.com/summit. I thought it important to bring this leadership opportunity for people with disabilities to the attention of the public because far too often these days, a person with a disability will simply accept what they perceive as their place in the world. They will say, I'm lucky to have this, this, or this. There's no way I can expand my influence. There's no way I can contribute in a meaningful way. There's no way I can grow beyond society's perception. And particularly with learning disability, an event like this can easily refute notions like that. For the fact is, everyone has the potential to contribute. Going in, a person should just keep an open mind and say, how can I benefit from this? But how can this benefit from me as well? For the truth is, a person does not have the right to underestimate themselves in so much as something would be lost to society. If a person with, for example, ADHD says, this material isn't for me. I can't grow in my skills and my strengths. and I can't become more effective to the people around me. It's not just a loss to you. It's a loss to everybody. And great leaders can inspire anyone, whether they have a disability or not. Some of the biggest influences in my own life have been those who are able to look beyond the surface, to say, we're going to find a way to make this work for you, to make the material something you can process, to make these opportunities as accessible as possible, just so you can benefit as a person, not a series of perceived conditions. For anyone, regardless of the challenge, regardless of the condition, has so much more to them than just a series of perceived medical facts. They have hopes, dreams, and the ability to influence and lead others. And if we can't recognize this, we're denying ourselves countless sources of new ideas and new innovations. And why would we limit ourselves by saying just those who we perceive as being in a role of authority should maintain this position? These leaders have to prepare for the idea that people with disabilities will someday enter into the equation, that we will have to take that responsibility in terms of creating for not just the aging population, for the young being born with disabilities. As our understanding grows, our accessibility must as well. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Canadian Blood Services invites you to save a life today. Every 60 seconds, someone in Canada needs blood. Donating is simple, and your blood will go to help Canadians undergoing heart surgery, leukemia treatment, or those involved in an accident. Go online and book your appointment today at www.blood.ca or give us a call toll-free at 1-888-2-DONATE. That's 1-888-236-6283.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about the Global Leadership Summit and how it can impact a person with ADHD. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Ken Kissinger from White Crow Village. So tell me a little bit about White Crow Village.
Okay, so White Crow Village FAC Society was started in 1996, basically as a result of a parent's desire to have their children have a successful summer camp experience because they were living with an FASD. It started basically a 3.5-week camp that was just for children. There was no parents or caregivers at that time, but it was basically started out of pocket by a single government employee. And by the third year that it was running, it became clear it was important to have children there, obviously, too, but also their caregivers and people that were involved in the lives of those children as well.
So how did the condition of fetal alcohol syndrome affect these children attending the camp?
The White Crow camp itself, or the other camps are you referring to?
White Crow.
Oh, well, it's one of those things where you can have some actual knowledge from reading or training or education around what FASD is, but you're not necessarily going to be able to see that's what is affecting a person who's living with it. And an important part of camp was spending time with people who were living with FASD and acknowledging and celebrating their strengths and the gifts that they have, but also learning, you know, what it really looks like because it's a largely invisible disability. You can't always hear it you can't always see it, especially if there's no facial features or anything to sort of show you that this person is dealing with a severe damage to the brain itself. And so spending time with the people with an FASD, especially the children, allowed people to better understand what goes on for them on a day-to-day basis.
So how does the community respond to the existence of this camp?
You know, it's by and far a very positive reception for Whiteville Village programs. I think people recognize that what we're doing as a society is it's almost super rare these days to find a program like this. In fact, this may be the only one. We hear when we go to different communities that they wish that there was more of these type programs available, but the impact that the Whiteville Village has on communities is very, very positive.
So, are there any challenges in putting together the camp itself?
Yes, there definitely are more challenges around funding, availability of proper funding. Also, there's the issue of travel and logistics, basically. When you're working with different communities, some of which are quite remote, there are a lot of there's a lot of planning that goes into each and every camp session that Whiteville Village does, and it can be kind of a daunting task, especially for if you're working with, you know, grassroots organizations or families that are trying to set it up in their home community. It's a lot of work to put on one of these programs, but the reward is far and away way better. It's super worth it.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
We have our, of course, we have the Whiteville Village website. We have numerous people that have actually attended Whiteville programs. So a large percentage of it is word of mouth. People share their experiences at Whiteville. They tell other people. Those people who may or may not work with organizations generally get the ball rolling and then send a request to Whiteville Village to have our programs come to wherever it is that they are.
So in your time with White Crow Village, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Oh, you know, there's been numerous success moments. I think, you know, having a young person tell me, you know, this is the first time I've felt that I fit in somewhere in my life. You know, that's probably one of the most rewarding and powerful things that you can experience working with youth. But I've also heard that from adults who weren't formally diagnosed until much later in their life, saying the same thing. You know, this is the first time I feel like I fit in, like I'm normal, like I'm wanted, like I'm celebrated. You know, I'm not a problem. I have a problem, yes, but I can do amazing things, even though I have an FASD.
So if you could send any one message to the community about the need for programs such as this, what would you say?
Well, I would say that there is a huge, huge need for White Crow type programming. And the reasons are a lot of our young people who live with an FASD who may or may not be diagnosed have continuous misunderstandings and problems with various people and systems in their lives. And, you know, when it's not caught or the supports aren't there, the unfortunate result of that can be a whole bunch of trauma that doesn't need to happen to both the person living with an FASD and the people that are involved in that person's life. You know, when they can come somewhere and feel safe and feel celebrated and have the freedom to sort of explore, you know, this is who I am, these are my gifts, this is what I can do to help others, it makes it so much better and more powerful for that person to sort of walk through life with their head up, because they realize that they have gifts that they can use to help other people, and they can also celebrate, you know, not only their gifts but their own challenges, and sort of make peace with the fact that there are learning differences and things that exist, but they can find ways to work with them and actually use them as strength.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
This segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Carmen Zajic from the Mel Jr. and Marty Zajic Foundation. So tell me a little bit about the Zajic Foundation.
So the Zajic Foundation was formed in 1987. And that was following the passing of my two brothers, who we lost in separate sporting accidents 8 months apart. And it was at that time that my mom and dad decided to form a foundation in memory of their two boys and to create a legacy that would go on in perpetuity. So they put together $100,000 of their own money and formed the foundation and started to do projects that would have some sustainability and create a memory and a legacy in memory of them. And then, so a lot of different projects since 1987, and then, of course, the Zajac Grants for Children, which is our most ambitious project to date, was established in May of 2004.
So can you tell me a little bit about the ranch?
So the ranch is a camp for children with life-threatening and chronic illnesses. So it's a camp for children that don't fit into a typical camp setting because of their medical condition or because of their medical needs. It's a real variety of diagnoses. We welcome all children of all medical conditions or all disabilities as long as they're stable enough to come to camp and they get signed off by their general practitioner, then we welcome them at camp. And so we can have anywhere from 30 to 40 different diagnoses in one summer. It's camp for kids with autism. It could be kidney disease, muscular dystrophy, cerebral palsy, deaf, blind, Down syndrome, a whole variety of different conditions. And what's unique about Zajac Ranch is that we have a medical center on site, and then we're able to attract volunteer doctors and nurses that come and support the children while they're at camp, so, you know, with their medications and any other issues that they might have.
So are there any challenges in putting together this camp for children with disabilities and medical needs?
Well, it was very challenging at the beginning, for sure, because we didn't really know anything about running a camp, and it was just kind of a vision of my father's, you know, where he wanted to build a camp for kids, and primarily it was for underprivileged children or children that might have come from marginalized families, and then he came up with the idea of kids with medical conditions. And so it's very, because it's all medical conditions, that can be a challenge, because it's not just dedicated to cancer, or it's not just dedicated to diabetes. We're raising money for a variety of medical conditions. And so it's, because it's not targeted, sometimes I feel that might be a challenge of ours, because we're not just cancer, we're not just diabetes, we're all over the map, which is a good thing for us in the sense that, or good for the families, because we're welcoming all sorts of different children, right? But not knowing really anything about camp, we just knew that this is something that was needed in the community and needed in our province and in our country, because we've got kids that come from as far back east as Newfoundland, right? So they come from all over Canada. But fundraising is always the biggest challenge, I think, and probably with any charity, is just making sure that you're sustainable and that you're there for the long haul, right?
So to look at the converse side of things, In working with these kids with special needs and disabilities, what's been the greatest success that you've witnessed?
Oh, my goodness. There's been so many over the years. There's been several, but one in particular where a child was nonverbal and actually got onto a horse and spoke for the first time. There was another time where a child was, you know, we have all these different activities at camp. You know, we've got high ropes, low ropes, you know, all these different activities, and it's always challenged by choice for kids, right? So if they're not comfortable trying to do an activity, we don't push them, we just try and encourage them, right? And so we had a child that came to camp over the years, and you know, the high ropes course, for instance, you know, the first year she just was able to just get up one ring on the ladder, and then the next year she was up on top, you know, at the top of the ladder, and then the next year she actually was on the high rope course, and the celebration was unbelievable, and the encouragement from all the other campers to see this camper come from somewhere where she was terrified, and now she's 30 feet up in the air and walking across a high rope. So quite remarkable. We have children that are blind that cross the high ropes. That's always, you know, something to see. We had a child that had Tourette's syndrome, came to camp probably, I think, when he was about 10 years old. He'd been bullied in school, always kicked out of class, always disruptive. It was all related to his Tourette's. Had a really difficult time, wanted to end his life, ended up coming to camp, and over 6 years he was a camper. Then he became a leadership, or a LIT, which is leadership in training, and then a counselor in training, and then he became an employee at the Zajac Ranch. And one time I was chatting with him up at camp, and this is when he was a counselor, and I was just saying, "Hey, Aiden, how's it going?" And chatting, and you know, he just was beaming and just said, "You know, this has just been such a great experience for me." And I said, "Yeah, it's been life changing. Has it been life changing for you, Aiden?" He said, "No, it's more than life changing. You saved my life, right?" And he actually meant it.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
The coming together of people with disabilities to share resources and ideas need not necessarily be limited to the adult population. For the fact is, for these children, the idea has to be fostered in them now, when they're young, that they are included, that they are a valued, meaningful member of the community. So as they grow up, they accept that disability is simply a part of nature, and they don't see it as a curse or a weight that is forever foisted upon them. But they see it as one facet of who they are. There is no better way of experiencing this than through that sense of community, than through the understanding that you're not alone. And there are others who can relate, who can share their wisdom, their insights. And together, you can stand someone much, much stronger, because you're learning, you're sharing the concepts of what disability really means, and you're experiencing it in a way where it's a shared experience. You learn from others, they learn from you, but the end result is inevitably a change in life, whether it be for the adult population through learning about leadership, or for these kids just sharing a great moment in time. The end result is a stronger person with a disability. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal, so get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks, and we'll see you next week.